Welcome back. Part two of the, as I call it, getting her done, how to get there, upgrading your platform discussion. And one final reminder, last public service announcement, if you have not scanned in for this session because you stayed from the previous one, I will not be offended if you need to get up and walk out and get scanned again by one of those lovely, fantastic, amazing red-shirted people. That will just ensure that you are accurately able to fill out the eval.
However, if you were intending to give us a bad eval, feel free not to bother scanning in at all.
You got it. Perfect. this particular session is called reimagining or reimaging? What did I write there?
Reimagining.
Reimagining.
Yep.
There we go. Reimagining and migrating your Active Directory. This was something that's near and dear to my heart. I'm a big Active Directory junkie. It's one of the reasons why I really enjoy working with the Microsoft stack is because of Active Directory and what it does. It's one of those also one of those unsung heroes that doesn't get touched an awful lot after you've got it in place. My name is Rick Claus, Senior Technical Evangelist. I work out of Corp. I used to be in the field from Canada, so if this is your first time in this room, I'm sorry, my accent, my terms, that sort of stuff, sometimes can be a bit confusing. But the real issue on the stage is this gentleman over here to my right, Andrew McMurray.
Yep, I'm Macca, everyone. Those of you that are brand new to the room, I'm an Australian. I can't be understood, so just bear with it.
We're both on the Twitters, in case you're interested. We're monitoring what's going on. You can tweet us at @RicksterCDN or @Macca, M-S-O-Z. And the hashtag that we're trying to follow, if I can get my internet connection to work correctly because I'm not plugged in right now, is set up to basically monitor WCAB336. This might cause a bit of confusion because this is actually technically in the client track because Active Directory information and access control is more of a client-side technology as far as the biggest impact as opposed to server-side. All that basically means is I had to tin cup and hat my solution around to different people to give me spots because there's only so many spots. And so I had to borrow one from the client and take three from server to be able to put this in to make it a nice, tidy package. Anything else? We're good?
Yeah, the only request I've got is one of my friends back at home actually bet me a bottle of whiskey that I wouldn't get one single Twitter follower while I was here. So if anyone in this room could please sort that bet out for me, that would be fantastic.
Pimping himself out.
Thank
you. Oh, jeez. Nice. I have to do at least one fun transition. I strip out all transitions and builds, basically. But what part of your IT infrastructure are you the most concerned with migrating? Again, for those of you that have been in the room for the previous session, this is nothing new. For those of you that are brand new, because they are discrete individual sessions, I did an informal survey basically asking people online completely, non-sanctioned by Forrester, by IDC, or anyone else that actually knows what they're doing, and basically just asked, hey, what part of the IT infrastructure as a whole are you the most concerned with updating and upgrading and working with in any way, shape, or form? And the answer came back as basically coming back as, first of all, workloads, application servers, and then second most concerning for everybody is the Active Directory domain. This does not surprise me. Active Directory is one of those things that you basically, if you were the one that implemented and designed it, you implemented it, you designed it, you launched it, it worked, it's now working fine, you leave it alone. You don't want to mess around with it too much. You just want to, you know, it's like a dial tone, everything's all good, right? And if you're one of the ones that actually inherited the Active Directory, it scares you because you don't know where it is. You don't know how all the different impacts, the different sort of things. So show of hands, who here designed their own Active Directory and are still in the same company they designed it with? Put your hand up if that's you.
That's pretty good.
Well, I say it's about a third of the room. Everybody else, you inherited Active Directory from somebody else.
Hands up who's happy with their inherited Active Directory. Not a single. Oh, we got one hand. Beautiful.
They're just scared and stunned more than anything else. It's overwhelming. Because the reason why, again, is there are so. I loved consulting in the Active Directory space, getting people from NT4 into Active Directory and designing stuff. I was not the guy that said you should name your domains like a website, like Macca suggested.
Sorry.
Well, it was misinterpreted by one of your students.
Yeah, just rubbish my reputation.
You got it. I was not one of those guys, although I did do an awful lot. There's a huge chunk of my work that I did that was all about cleanup. And I swear, back in my patch of Canada that I was working in, that there was a team of consultants from a particular unnamed consulting company that I'm not going to say what their name was, that would go off and sell their services. They get the contract, they go ahead, they do their implementation, they do this fantastic documentation, they have a 1,000-page book they then drop off in the binder, here you go, you're done, your Active Directory's there, it's all implemented. They disappear, and then 6 months later I come in to fix it. It was the same document in all these different customers. And like, if I could just leapfrog ahead of them to help them, it would make my job a lot easier. So we did it also a sounding board as well earlier on. So for the new people in the room and the existing people in the room, how many people here are running NT4?
Where's that?
More people are running NT4 in this environment.
Hang on, what happened?
Right now. It's
we just went through a time vortex.
Well, I guess they're coming for the most important session here, for this one here. That's good.
There's
at least six people
shirt?
In the room. 2,000. Anyone 2,000 still? That had the lowest number of votes that came in. 2,000. Yep. 2003. That's a good, at least 10, 20% of the room. It's there. 2008 R2, everybody,
hey.
Hands up, baby, hands up. Good. 2012, last of the bunch, 2012. That small smattering of people that are there. This kind of coincides with, there's my funny joke, insert graph here, coincides with what we've basically been seeing, again, with my completely informal and non-credible poll asking about what versions were people running. The best part is, if it's 2008 R2, if it's 2008 R2, the biggest hurdle has already been passed. x86 to x64. That's the biggest hurdle. If you're in the previous version, don't worry. We can still help you. We can still get things up and going and ready to go. Now, a lot of this content that you're going to be seeing right now is actually stuff that has been done at TechEd before. It was a very highly rated session. I happen to know the guy that did it.
What was his name?
Rick Claus.
Good.
WSV330.
I knew there was a reason I hung off your coattails.
And it was very well attended. And basically, I just went through and tried to simplify how you get through a migration process or an upgrade process. If you're American, that's process, not process. Get it to the point where you're at 2008 R2. These are the same technologies. Likewise as well, I had a conversation with someone down here that was asking me after the last session, will I be able to do this from a 2008 R2 directly to 2012 R2 environment? And the answer is, wait for the preview bits to try it. But in theory, the stuff I'll be showing you today can be used for that. We had another interesting conversation as well, philosophically, that is something that you should be aware of. And I'm going to say this now for the rest of the sessions for each one. Gone is the day when you can wait and say, as an IT pro or someone that works in technology, I'm just going to wait for the next version. The reason why? We've brought our engineering teams in alignment. The moons have aligned, the planets have aligned, the Aztec calendar is stopped and rolled over again. The fact is now, we're going on an accelerated approach. Fasten your seatbelts, get ready to go. Don't get run over by the train that's coming. Because of what our end users, all of us in this room, are asking for, more, faster, better, meaner, leaner, greater, more cost savings, everything else. There's lots of change happening in the industry. And the good thing is that we're adjusting our software principles and the way that we're designing software to make it less stressful for you to implement in a mixed version environment and be able to use the same type of management tools to be able to manage them. So a lot of the tools we're going to be using for this particular session here are built in, they're in box, they manage the current level and down level as well. And you can still go off and manage and work with it. We've decoupled a lot of the functionality requirements for force functional level, domain functional level, from the new features that are available with 2012. And I have to assume that's going to continue with 2012 R2 as well. The reason why I say assume is because I also do not have access to the bits, like you guys do not have access to the bits. And I am also anxiously awaiting for June 26 when they become available.
It's going
to
be a good day.
Stuff. So we're all here for Active Directory. Let's go ahead and get started. We're all set. And in case you forget, Active Directory is over 14 years old. It was fantastic when it came out. We apologize for how much we might have scared you when it came out. And we also apologize for a large number of things that we said during the time that basically scared you even more, like striking a schema audit committee to be able to review every single schema change before they're implemented, and then there must be a 3/4 majority vote on that committee before the schema is updated, and that sort of stuff.
You still see that all over the place.
I know, it's crazy, man.
It's something that's stuck around.
Yeah, so obviously, the directory is your most important thing in your network, because without an Active Directory logon, you don't have access to anything. So Active Directory is quite important. And then in this case, again, where were you 14 years ago today? This is what my server room looked like 14 years ago.
Nice.
It was a high-tech place. This was the operating system that I was migrating to. The requirements for that operating system were a whopping 256 megabytes of RAM, 2 gigabytes of hard drive space, 133 megahertz Pentium compatible CPU.
That played actual soccer really well.
Yeah. So it's a matter of remembering what kind of projects you're looking at. And then from a design perspective, this is where it comes fun. Remember this? This is the optimal design solution you should have. This is actually what I recommended for all of my customers and clients, was to go with a single domain environment. However, a lot of people didn't listen to my recommendations. They decided they want to go with multiple domain environments, or they were taking their NT design and saying, wow, this worked great for us on NT side, so we're just going to go and take this and then bring them in exactly as is with multiple domains on the Active Directory side of things. They didn't bother to scrub things up. Or maybe they went in this kind of environment here where they had the user account domain and all the resource domains down below with NT4 to be able to go off and to have access to those types of resources.
We had a lot to answer for there.
40,000 limit, security principle limit for the users and computers inside that user environment. That possibly made problems for people that were large multinationals, so you had to go with this one, where you had multiple user account domains across the pond and down south under the southern equator to be able to go off and do stuff with multiple resource domains. The best one was this one that I always hated coming across, which was the complete mess of everything, where basically you just kept on acquiring more and more companies and bringing them together. Oh, we'll just trust this. Oh, we'll just trust that. Oh, we'll just trust this. And then you have issues with people breaking those trusts, and then, oh, I'll just quickly reestablish it again. Or, you know, I'll just break it, and then we'll know it's not a big problem. And access to resources was against the arrow or with the arrow, or what was
that? I can't remember, but I was so glad when I found out that, you know, it was all transitive two-way trust, and I didn't need to touch trusts again, and then that happened.
Yeah.
And I spent my whole life in domains and trust.
Cleaning it up.
Remember when you used to go and log in? I'm sorry, I can't find the domain anymore. I've forgotten who I am. The computer account password can't be done again. And oh, nasty.
So Active Directory basically solved a lot of issues that were out there when Active Directory came out. When it's properly implemented, when it's properly researched. And obviously hindsight is 2020. Absolutely hindsight is 2020. We've also come a huge long way with the capabilities of Active Directory as an identity solution. It really is now an Active Directory identity solution nowadays. It's not just simply being able to log on. It's way, way, way more than that. Now, why did we make it so complicated?
Did we take a real behavioral methodology of what we've been doing for so many years with NT4 and just have trouble making the transition to a new way of doing
it? I think it was
things.
A troubling transition myself. Mm. Troubling transition. So now, it's 2014. No, 2013.
That's 2013. Sorry. Okay.
Time warp. 2013, the party's over. We're cleaning up and sweeping up all the problems with Active Directory. It's been running in your environments flawlessly. You've gone through upgrades. It's all great. People are logging on. The fact that you're all here right now tells me your Active Directory is working back home, because you wouldn't be here if it wasn't working back home right now. But sit back for a minute and actually think about this. Even if you're recently upgraded to 2008 R2, that's still 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Or maybe you just finished it now and you're waiting to go. When is the last time you actually revisited the whole design concepts of Active Directory to optimize how you could do this? Or was it simply, let's go with the upgrades and get done with it and move on to the next fire that we have to worry about? When's the last time you validated and looked at your functionality level? Anyone here still running in 2003 mode? Put up your hand, 2003 mode still. The good news is, with 2003 mode, you can still put in a 2012 domain controller, just so you know. It's good to know, because some things require a 2012 domain controller. But why are you still in 2003 mode? When you're changing functional levels, you're basically stopping the previous version of domain controllers from being able to join. There really was only that mixed mode back in 2000 when it changed the replication topology. Once you got out of that, basically you're just replicating back and forth using the new methodology of stuff, and now you're simply excluding older members and older versions of things. Yes, there was that OID thing with Exchange that kind of blew things up for a little while, but we're past that now. Things are working much better. So, you're in the room because you want to know about this. Why Server 2012? And for those of you that are new to the room, we're going to be focusing this conversation primarily on current shipping available. You can walk out and buy it today, 2012 solutions. But this also carries over for being ready for 2012 R2. The main thing you want to go to 2012 is to make your admin life easier, mainly because you now have a phenomenal capability of being able to do a high level of automation. I actually had a gentleman come from a university from a southern state, and I forget which state it was, but he had a great accent. And he just got handed, he's a new guy in the IT world, he just got handed an Excel spreadsheet that is 3 pages long, if you printed it, in very small font, of all sorts of the new students coming in that needs to be input into the Active Directory. And he's like, can you please help me? Besides having to go and to type each one of these things in to do it better. And I said, the thing you have to do is seek out and find my doppelganger clone, which has the same hat as me. His name is Sean Kearney, Energize Tech PowerShell extraordinaire, or anyone that's a PowerShell person, and start to look at how you can really just a couple of PowerShell command lines feeding that particular spreadsheet. He could have his work done in 20 minutes and then pretend it took 3 days and take some time off.
Excellent.
So automation's amazing. The AD recycle bin. But whoa, hey, wait a second. The recycle bin was in 2008 R2.
Yeah.
Almost all of you are able to do it right now, right? Who here has enabled the AD recycle bin? Everyone else, that's a fraction of the people that have 2008 R2 in place. Everyone else, change the functional level. Get up to that level to enable it, and then flip that bit to be able to go for the AD recycle bin. It saved my bacon so many times, because you literally are at the point now where if someone goes in and deletes an object, it's no longer a matter of doing shutting it down, directory services repair mode, authoritative restore for this particular thing to get it back again, and then you got to worry about the last time the system state was used. Click, undelete, done. With 2012, with 2008 R2, it's PowerShell. You can get a third-party GUI utility to do it. Click, undelete, done. For an entire OU and all the objects inside of it. Phenomenal. Fine-grained password policy, one of the main issues. Yeah, one of the main issues for why we did design considerations for multiple domains in my world back up in Canada was because you had requirements for different password policies. How does that translate? That translates to the higher pay grade people need simpler passwords.
That's the way it always goes.
The regular people that are out there have to adhere to the security policy that has complex passwords that are 14 characters long, changed every 30 days, mixed case, and numbers and letters. And the poor administrators turn on exemption on their own accounts. But they have to adhere to that policy too.
And it's amazing how often you hear that story. Like, we get it all the time in Australia. So you'll have people come in and they see fine-grained password policies and they go, thank goodness,
yep,
this is here, because it's always the same. Someone high up in the organization says, right, it's time to get serious about security. We're going to implement a hard and fast policy. You're going to have a minimum password requirement of 15 characters. We're going to change it every 3 days. We're going to remember the last 365 passwords you ever did, and we're going to do it right now. And we say, all right, fine, we'll go and do it. And they go, well, whoa, not me. hang on a minute. I can barely type my own name in at the command prompt, and I need a 3-character password. And if the picture of my dog ever goes away from my wallpaper, I'm in deep trouble. So this is something that's really, really good for us.
A group policy updates is a hidden thing. There's a little gem. A friend of mine, Alan Birchall, down in he's Australia, isn't he?
He is indeed.
He's in Australia. He's a group policy MVP, and he did an interview with me talking about this. Group policy updates, phenomenal in 2012. The fact that I can basically choose an OU structure and then right mouse click on it in the GP admin console and say update, every single account inside that OU structure will now get a scheduled task to do a GP update / force computer settings, GP update / force user settings. Yes, ma'am, right there with your mouth wide open in awe and shock,
yes,
that is possible with group policy updates.
Now, we're only just stopping Rick from doing his happy dance right now.
I love it. Those are all stuff you can do right now with 2012. Definite endpoint, game changer for just making your life easier. And it's not that difficult to do. This is a bigger one. But this is where we're talking here in this whole session and series of sessions we're talking about this week. Upping your level of game, leveling up. This is something that is going to be fundamentally changing going forward that you need to understand. We're used to putting people into groups and having groups that are inside other groups that then go down to local groups that then go inside access control lists as access control entries that get full control, read, whatever. That is going to shift to start to use real expression-based access control entries that are dynamically changing based on your group membership if you want, or that can start to dynamically change based on what device. I mean, picture this. Imagine being able to say, you're able to go in and to have access to this file because you belong to the group that says finance, but you only have read-only access to it because you're accessing it from a non-managed device. Amazing. And then as soon as you go back to your desktop, it's managed, boom, you have access to be able to write to it. Dynamically changing your permissions based on the types of devices you're using, based on attributes inside the Active Directory, what country you're in. So whenever Mac is up here in North America, we put all of his files to read-only access so he doesn't delete stuff. We can do that based on country codes and stuff like
thanks
that.
Thanks for getting that on the recording, too.
You got
That's
it, dude.
Good. Well done.
Dynamic access, way to go. And then probably one of the biggest thing for going 2012, virtualization support for your domain controllers.
Yay!
It's amazing. It's oh, a golf clap. Thank you. virtualization support with VMgen ID is probably the most revolutionary, most sexy thing you can possibly do, and there's no interface for it.
And
I can't show it to you, I have to explain it to you, but it is amazing.
And hands up, who loves VMgen ID because they have practical experience at what happens without it? Yeah.
Only a couple so far. Who here believes that it's okay to virtualize your domain controllers? How many of you are running 2012? Only the ones with their hands still up should be answering that question as yes. Because it's not okay to virtualize your domain controllers without human-based policies that say don't do the following things, because if you do, you're going to cause some big problems. And we'll talk about what that is. But also, obviously, the best reason for why you can be considering 2012 is because it is your easiest path to going to 2012 R2. So, to get started with this, some guidelines to make your life easier. We had a little bit of discussion down here already before we even got in the session. Clean up and simplify and consolidate beforehand. Get your house in order. The first session we talked about some different tools you can use to do some inventory of what's going on. You really do have to go and dig out that red book that lists off why your Active Directory was designed that way. You have to cross-reference and find out if the site definitions were made correctly, if the subnets are properly aligned with the site definitions, why you have domain controllers, where you have them, have you gone ahead and implemented read-only domain controllers. There's a whole bunch of little ticky boxes you should make sure that are in place. And you also have to go through and be aware of that it's a good opportunity now to clean up, consolidate, reduce, to simplify your life. And I will give you your first caveat warning that you need to know about. The tool that's built in and free to be able to use, the Active Directory Migration Tool 3.2, cannot be installed on Server 2012. So you have to do this on a 2008 R2 box. That doesn't mean you can't put a 2012 box domain controller in there. It just means that you have to have a 2008 R2 domain controller around to be able to install those tools on to be able to do the migrations. And there's the link to the support KB article for what's there. Other thing you should be thinking about, doing the same thing gets you the same results. Challenge yourself and consider different options. The first option I would strongly consider for you is a server core implementation for your domain controller. Mind you, I am a bit of a purist. I believe, where possible, that my infrastructure should be doing the job it's designed to do and nothing else. So my domain controllers typically have domain controller stuff on them, they have and DNS on them. And that's it. They don't have anything else. They're not file servers. They're not home directory servers. They're not application servers for someone's Minecraft account or something like that. I don't know. Make sure that you are doing jurisprudence and understand that server core implementations are a good option and that you should try to optimize the roles and situations that are on there for reasons you'll see a little bit later on. Server core is not something scary. It's gotten way better with 2012. 2008 R2, it is a little bit scary. Remote management can be a bit of a challenge. Let's just say that the default option for a 2012 install, and if you just go next, done, you log on to the box, boom, server core hits you right in the face, which is awesome. It's the way it should be. A server should be a server, and that's it. And so server core is the way to go. And in case you also don't know, any 2012 domain controller, or any 2012 member server, any 2012 server install at all is automatically set up for remote management capabilities. And with what we've changed with the way we manage 2012, you can do anything to that box remotely from a Windows 8 box. You can install drives. Well, you can't install drives. You have to go to the server for that. But you can configure pools. You can do NIC teaming. You can remote manage. You can install software. You can remove software. all remotely from a Windows client box to be able to do it. Consider read-only domain controllers. They are fantastic. Another question came up a little bit later on that we'll talk about when do you actually worry about upgrading or moving those guys. But RODCs can save your bacon in case someone drives a pickup truck into the back of the strip mall where you happen to have that field office, that branch office, and they steal all the computer equipment. It's not the fact that the computer equipment stole the problem. They have every single user ID and password in your entire environment now available for them to do brute force attack upon because they have the physical hardware. So RODCs are much better in that situation because they don't have that information. However, before you get there, sir, RODCs are not a good idea if you're inside of a branch office that also has an Exchange server on it, because it needs to find the full stuff, not just the read-only stuff, which causes traffic. So that's a design consideration. I'm assuming that's what you're going to talk about, sir? You got it. So, by the way, you are able to ask questions, by the way. We're not just going to be up here talking, entertaining you all day long. We enjoy questions. If you could come to the microphone and say it, but we're at least trained enough to be able to repeat those questions as we go. And please don't be offended if we just say 1 minute, sir, I'll get back to you, because we do have a lot of stuff to get through. Go virtual. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Do it. Let's get her done. Oh, I'll get there. I'll get there. That question was all of them? And I'll say I'll get there. So first off, the first question we have, Macca, what do you think?
Upgrade or migration? Well, really, it depends on where you are at the moment, doesn't it?
We kind of are a little bit jaded with our philosophy on this.
I've come from a long period of only doing migrations. And the reason for that is because I've been in the industry for a fair while, a bit over 20 years or 20 years or so. And I had a bad experience once doing an upgrade, which meant from that point on, I didn't even do anything but migrations. But things are changing, you know, quite considerably. How do you feel?
I'm also a migration person as well.
He's a migration person as well. Things are changing considerably. Upgrades are becoming a lot more safer, a lot more streamlined, but there are certain areas in which you're not going to be able to upgrade, and you won't have a choice, but you'll have to migrate.
And that would be?
2003.
No, I'm building the slide out.
Oh, sorry.
I was waiting for that to happen. x86, 2003, 32 bits. Has no in-place upgrade path possible. You can't just pop in a CD and go, or a USB stick and go, because it is x86. You cannot do that. You have to be 2008 R2. 2008, 2008 R2, there is a direct upgrade if you wanted to simply put in the media, run setup and go. You can. Fully supported, fully tested. It's one of the biggest scenarios we test with our break-fix solutions during our enterprise testing and engineering room discussions. So it's one of the big test matrix that we do. But we're going to show you a way you can basically get the best of both worlds for Active Directory in this environment. So what we do is a little bit of what we call a shell game, where basically we're going to be going in, and here's your Active Directory, the current version you've got right now, 2003, 2008 or 2, whatever it happens to be. We're then going to basically introduce a new member service, 2012, join the domain, administrative rights on there, I'm all good. Then I'm going to go through and do a DC promo on that guy. Once he's been DC promoed, he's now a domain controller. Then I'm going to do some magic of simply moving some important stuff around between those two guys. I'm going to wait for the convergence to occur where everyone knows that's taken place. And then I'm going to get this guy out of the way. And then now I have the ability to go up to the next level of continuing with my deployment. So a graphical build version of what that looks like is we're going to be migrating our Active Directory and DNS at the same time because they're on the same boxes. We're going to be going through and, first of all, doing planning, right? Can you all please repeat after me? I will promise to plan and document for my IT pros coming later. There we go. You got it. It's the enthusiasm in this room is stunning.
I have a suspicion it's more like I will promise not to care after 2 weeks after it's finished.
For the migration itself, what we're going to do is basically make a destination server, a domain controller, manually migrate the settings if we need to, or we simply let them take place. We're going to transfer over the FISMOs and then go ahead and migrate the IP address, rename the servers. That depends if you really need to or not. You shouldn't really need to. You can. It's an option. But you're going to go off and do some verification. And you're going to be doing all of this inside your lab environment before you do it in production. And then you're going to go off and do it in production. And believe it or not, you can actually do this in production at 8:30 in the morning on Tuesday, because there's no interruption in service, because the way Active Directory is designed to be multi-master, to have authentication capabilities with other domain controllers, provided you have other domain controllers ready to go, that's in there. And then finally, going through and basically retiring the old source server, rolling back the migration if you need to, or troubleshooting. Hopefully none of those steps are going to be required unless you didn't do that planning part that I talked about first. So I think it's enough about me talking. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a little bit of a break, have some Earl Grey tea.
Very nice.
And pass it over to my buddy Macca.
All right. Thank you, mate. Okay, so just to set the scene, what we've got at the moment is a two domain controller environment in this particular forest. We have DC1 and DC2. I know they're extremely exciting names. And DC1 is currently a Windows Server 2003 box, and that is holding R2, and that is holding all the FSMO roles. Okay, or every single one of them is sitting on that Windows Server 2003 R2 box. The other box is a Windows Server 2008 R2. Domain controller. So we've got sort of some of the way in terms of getting closer and closer to where we want to be. But at the moment, because we're a 2003 single domain controller and 2008 domain controller, we're stuck on Windows Server 2003 as our forest and domain functional level. Now, I've just gone and created myself a member server here. You can see this is a 2012 member server. And I'm going to bring that in as the first domain controller running 2012 in this particular environment. We've already done an AD prep and an AD prep domain prep. We've done that ahead of time. But one of the really cool things about the new wizard that we use for deploying Active Directory is that it will handle those prerequisites for you. So it will go out and it will look at what's currently out there and it'll say, hey, we haven't done a forest prep yet. We haven't done a domain prep yet. I'll actually handle that and I'll do it for you. Now, who's ever been in that position where they thought they were ready to go, they've got their planning in place, they go ahead, throw that first 2008 domain controller in back in the day, and then it says, sorry, you haven't done that. You haven't done your AD prep. You go, oh, damn it. Because you get a fair way through before you go, oh, damn it. So no worries, I'll go and run that, and then I'm good. Okay, let's run the DC Promo Wizard again. We get a fair way, oh, you haven't done domain prep yet. Oh, damn. And you get a little bit further, and then you say, right, we'll do it again. We've done domain prep. Oh, you haven't GP prepped yet, and you really start to cry. Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
And then you go through the actual wizard of the DC promo process, and what's the default options? New domain in a new forest as a new domain controller. That's actually completely inverse to what we're trying to do. You know, that's actually, the DC promo is actually one of the most, one of the top issues that people call in with regards to Active Directory is DC promo crap that doesn't work.
And we love DC Promo so much we deprecated it. And
it's replaced it.
Replaced it with this new wizard. So what we're going to do in Server Manager right now is we're just going to hit the Manage menu. Got to love Zoomit. And I'm going to click the Manage menu and choose to... that's why I've got it stuck on a little staple there. And click Add Roles and Features. Now, this is the new Add Roles and Features wizard. I'm not going to zoom in on the Before You Begin page because this is the page that everybody reads incredibly closely to make sure they're doing the right thing, or alternatively, like the rest of us, we just hit skip this page by default and then move straight on. Now, you'll notice that the Add Roles and Features wizard gives us two options here. Now, what we've done is we've broken it all down into roles and features, similar to what we did with Server 2008 and Server 2008 R2. But one of the other sort of advancements we've made when it comes to Server 2012 is the other option here of the remote desktop services installation. Now, I don't know if you've ever been through the process of running a terminal services farm in a pure Windows environment or running a pure Windows Microsoft VDI type environment, but in the past, what you would do is you would go and download a step-by-step guide. And that step-by-step guide would trigger a couple of little worries in your mind because you'd look at it online and the scroll bar looked really long and you'd go, okay, should be easy enough, I'll print it. Because that's what you do. Paperless office, yeah, right. You print it. And it comes out looking a little bit like War and Peace. Right. You know, and you've only got X number of reams of paper in the organisation, but that's all right. So you print it out, you drop it on your foot and you go to the hospital, come back. And you start going through it, and it just takes a long time, and it's very complex. So we've actually built the entire architectural delivery of that into a single wizard. We don't particularly care about that for ours. We're going to go with a role-based or a feature-based installation because we're doing Active Directory. Now, you'll notice here that it's now asking me exactly which server I want to do this on. So one of the new features of Server Manager is I can fire these wizards off against remote servers. One of my favourite features here, Rick, is this little radio button here that gives me the ability to select a virtual hard disk. So I can actually point this at a VHD and I can use DISM to mount it, get the role inside it, and then dismount it again without me having to do any other trickery. So what I'll do is I'll just choose the current server that we're on. I'll choose Active Directory Domain Services and then add the appropriate administrative tools to that, like so. And you can see that there for anyone that needs to see it. And then we'll move on. We don't need any features. A little bit of information here about what we're going to do. We have the ability here, as you can see, to restart the server automatically if we need to. So if you're one of those people that's happy to restart the box at this particular point in time, you can.
It's just a member server right now, right?
So absolutely. So I'm not going to affect anyone. It's just a member server with nothing running on it. And then we start the installation. So this will take a small amount of time to get done. Now, once that's done, the Active Directory source files will be down onto the machine. The binaries are there that we need. And we can then go and promote that server into a domain controller. And the important thing to remember here is that when we fire that Active Directory installation wizard off, we're not actually using the old DC promo process to do it. And one of the really cool things about this is we can do this entire process through PowerShell as well. So once we've been through the GUI once, we can take the output of that as a script, and we can then go and utilize that for mass promotions of domain controllers. But of course, I'd rather do it by cloning my virtual machines.
Wait, we're getting there.
Sorry, stealing his thunder. Now you can see that that's finished, and now it's giving me the option to promote the server to a domain controller. If I don't want to do it right now, it's not a problem. I can click close. I can go into the notifications section inside Server Manager and bring that back. But right now, I'll choose to do a promotion. So I click the promote. That will then spawn the Active Directory installation wizard.
This is basically the, we kind of, you know, we killed off AD prep. It's no longer there. Yay, it's gone. And then we brought back, we killed off DC promo, but then we brought back DC promo kind of in the form of this. The best part I like about this is all the integrated checks it does along the way that eliminates the stop, having to find the right the right credentials and then come back again and stop and change the direction. It does it all in here. It's awesome.
So as you can see, pretty much standard options here. So I'm sure I'm not showing anyone anything new in terms of an AD installation wizard. So I'm adding a domain controller to an existing domain. I'm taking the current domain and I'm using my corp credentials to do that as the current user. Now we'll just go through the standard questions that I'm going to be asked. So are we intending to install this as a DNS server and a global catalog? Is it going to be a read-only domain controller? And what I really love about this is it gives me the ability to choose exactly which site I want to add these into. And you can see that they've come available for me now. As per usual, I'll need to give it the directory services restore mode password. So I'll put in my incredibly difficult password. And I'm not going to tell you what that is because I'm sure you would really want to get your hands on my domain. I'm not specifying a DNS delegation option. And what I also like about this wizard is it gives me the ability to choose exactly which domain controller I want to do my initial replication from, which can be very useful, stopping me going across potentially nasty links.
The install for media option is not going to be available to speed up replication time because you have to have a system state from the same version of the Active Directory domain controller that you're currently installing. So he does not have that option.
Yep. As you can see here, I've got my standard locations for the DIT files and the sys file.
You guys are aware of the optimization of that, basically log files on one set of disks. If you want to design this for scale to have faster sequential access, the database file, the DIT file on a random access disk because there's a lot of random reads and writes.
And you can see here now that I've come to the end, I'm ready to go ahead, and I get the ability, if I want to now, to view the script, the PowerShell script, that is actually being executed under the hood here. So we're doing this in PowerShell, so I can hit that script, I can see exactly what it's asking for, and I can go and take that away and reuse it later on. So I'm happy with that. I will fire that off. And now what it's doing is all the prerequisites checking it needs to do, it will go ahead and get that done. So while we're actually getting that installed, and I'll come back to that in a moment, what do you say we move the FISMO roles to another 2012 server?
Do you have another 2012 server already up and running?
Well, I kind of do. But if I was to go ahead and do it now, I'd kind of spoil the video that's coming up.
That's true. Well, FISMO stuff, well, ideally, we should be doing the FISMO roles transfer. We should wait for this guy to go. But in the interest of time, because I want to make sure we get through everything, why don't you do it anyway?
It's fine. So
this wasn't really your first 2012 domain controller.
No, it wasn't really my first 2012
domain controller. You just ruined that whole impact of the demo, right?
Let me give you a little story. I had a 2008 machine redo upgrade, and I said, people are going to love watching the upgrade experience. They're going to love watching the upgrade for 30 minutes.
We'll save that. We'll still show them that. Just do the NTDS transfer.
Okay, let's do it now. So what I'll do is I'll just go to my other domain controller. Okay. And I'm on my other server 2012 domain controller. Now what I want to do is connect to this particular domain controller, transfer the FISMO roles across from the current DC1. So I'll do
Everyone
that.
Everyone remembers what FISMO stands for? Flexible single masters of operation, FSMO. You got five of them in each domain. Sorry, five of them in the domain that you have to worry about. And then there is a couple that are at the force level only. But FSMOs are very, very important to have. Naming master. Are you doing that? Oh, sorry. I'm stealing your thunder.
You're stealing my thunder. It's all good. Oops, and I hit the wrong thing. There we go. So what you can see I've done here so far is I've gone into NTDS util. I've moved to the FSMO maintenance mode, connected to the local server, and now I'm going to instruct it to transfer the roles across. What I hate about having to do these things live is you always get a bit of, I suppose, anxiety around typing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You can see here that when I choose to transfer naming master, it's actually asking me, are you sure that you want to move that role? That was an interesting thing that just happened there. To the server DC2. Yes, I do. I won't do that again. And we'll transfer.
Now, while he's typing, I'll let him type. I'm going to talk while he finishes that off.
Excellent.
There are GUI tools you can use to do these transfers, but you're going to have to launch off like three different tools to be able to do it. It's much faster to do this. It's also better to do a planned transfer as opposed to a seize. If you forget to do this and you take out your 2003 domain controller where they're currently residing, seizing is not great. Just do a transfer, it's orderly, replicates, wait for the convergence to happen. Don't do a seize, but a seize is possible in case you did an oops. And the stuff that you're seeing at the end with this long blot of screen text, keep it up there, buddy. I want to see it. You'll see that if you actually follow the distinguished name or the DN of this, you'll actually be able to see the NTDS settings, and you'll see the role holder according to this domain controller he's connected to. Who is each one? All five of those roles have to be transferred, and they all have to say the same name of the machine that's there. Don't forget, go back to your server room, take the post-it note off of the 2003 server that says that's the FSMO guy, and put it on the 2012 server now for your documentation.
Absolutely right. Okay, so if we just move across to Active Directory Administrative Center now, you can see in the domain controllers area that DC3 has finished promoting itself. So if we very quickly go back across to that machine itself,
See. While we're waiting, we had a quick question up at the front. We'll see if it's okay. Go ahead. The question is, are we going to continue development on NTDS util, or is it going to be depreciated, deprecated? Or will it go to PowerShell? I actually don't know the answer to that one. So generally, forward-looking statements about stuff that's not out yet, I can't comment on anyway, but I'm not aware of anything that we're doing one way or the other. But shoot me a note around June 26 timeframe, we can talk.
Cool. So you can see that DC1's now restarted. It's now up as a domain controller. All right, just the last thing I want to show you before Rick continues is, beg your pardon, I just went to the wrong one. I can also take that PowerShell script that I did before in my PowerShell IOC here, and I can choose to create another domain controller utilizing that PowerShell capability. So what I might do is just highlight that particular script here. I've already installed the ADDS objects on there, and I'll fire that off, and then I'll hand back to you, Rick, and we'll see how that looks when we come back.
Nice. So you can do this through the GUI. You can do this through PowerShell. We tried to speed up a little bit with a little sleight of hand cooking example of, look, here's the cake. It's all done, to try to speed this up. Now, this obviously is also at a much accelerated pace. I don't expect you to do this kind of an upgrade in your production environments in 20 minutes. It's because you have to replicate, you have to wait for everything all finished, so we're working at a much faster rate than we're doing. Now, we mentioned, well, wait a second, hang on. There's other options. We're showing you 2003. There is no other option except doing what we're doing right now. If you're 2008 R2, there are other options. You can do an in-place upgrade of that existing box if you wanted to. You also can go through and do virtualized domain controllers and clone domain controllers as a way of doing it once you hit 2012. You have to have your first 2012 domain controller up and running. You have to have the FSMO role seized or transferred to that guy before you can start to do the virtualized and the clone DCs that's there. But for the people that want to go off and see it, we decided that we would go ahead and record a video of actually doing a domain controller upgrade from 2008 R2 to 2012, and we happen to get a hold of some prototype hardware. This is an Intel Core i7000.
It's really good.
That basically allows you to do a complete and total install in under 1 minute. That normally takes 30 minutes or more on a virtualized platform. And as you can see, it looks pretty simple for what you do. And it'll go through and basically copy the files and do that process.
Should be pretty good for World of Warcraft.
Oh, there's the reboot shutting down, booting back up again.
There you go.
Another reboot there.
Yes, it was a virtual machine.
Now, wait a second. It's getting ready.
It's getting ready. Cool.
Wait.
How are those devices going? Still getting ready.
Oh.
Oh, I think it's getting ready.
It's almost getting ready there.
Yeah, I think it's getting ready. How do you think I felt sitting in front of it getting ready? How would you have felt sitting through getting ready?
And
I think it's getting ready.
It's getting ready.
It's getting ready. It's all right. It's just getting ready. Don't worry about it.
I'm so glad we did this video instead of waiting for this
I think we should wait now.
Okay.
Okay, we'll
wait. Let's wait.
Now, you should see how fast I can type my password.
You ready? Don't blink.
Oh, hang on, I'll wait.
This is actually being played at 2,000%, in case you're wondering. Speed, 2,000%. We couldn't make it go any higher. It's the fastest we go. Boom, logged on, done. Congratulations, you just upgraded 2008 R2 Domain Controller 2012. We hope that you have the same hardware that we did to be able to do that in 1 minute. Now, what we do have is this whole concept of virtualization is another option. Only a couple of you put your hand up when you said that you've experienced this before, but a whole chunk of you said that you virtualize your domain controllers right now. And the cautionary note I have for you is that unless you're running Server 2012, you're missing a very essential piece of the puzzle to make sure that you're safe with your Active Directory, your most important solution in your entire networking environment. You can create what's known as a USN bubble. And let me explain this in a little bit more detail about what's going on here. Here's my domain controller that's virtualized, and it's running right now at a particular time. I took a snapshot because I wanted to take a snapshot because it's virtualized, and I want to be able to have a copy of it. And I'd normally be replicating with domain controller number 2. I then go ahead and roll back that snapshot. And sorry, don't roll back to snapshot just yet. I create a whole bunch of users, 100 users, and my RID pool goes from 500 to 600 because I have 100 new SID objects that are created. I then go ahead and replicate, and I basically talk and talk to my domain controller DC1, where it receives those updates and basically increases my my USN value high watermark that it knows of for my other guy. So it now thinks that I'm at a level 200. But here's what happens: I roll back to that previous time. My USN value is now back to 100. And I happen to also have a bad misfortune of creating 150 new objects as well. When I go across and talk to my other domain controller, what's going to happen is basically say, hey, I know of your USN value being 200. Please send me the changes from 200 to your current high water value of 250, so I'll get 50 new changes. I won't know about all the changes that have occurred to those other objects for those USN values that have changed, and I also don't know that you've also now created a whole bunch of new objects that now have duplicate SIDs.
Nice.
Duplicate SIDs are bad. Inconsistent replication state is bad. You now have entered the wormhole. You now have a bubble of time that is a problem. You now have an issue that this guy, if I can hit the right key to build it, basically says, hey, the rollback was not detected. 50 users converged across them. All users are either on one or the other. 100 security principles users in this example have duplicate RIDs. Duplicate SIDs in the environment, and I now am in chaos. Layperson's terms. Let's just say that we didn't have the SID complication and we just did a USN issue and now have a time and space warp bubble. Let's say I got 10 domain controllers and the snapshot was from 3 months ago. Any password changes that occurred to those user objects during that 3 months ago, they're still the same password on that one domain controller, but they're updated on the other 9 domain controllers. So picture a user logging on and then randomly getting that one domain controller and their password doesn't work. They type it again, password doesn't work. Type it again, password doesn't work. Calls the help desk. Here, try this again. Let's go and you reboot your system, do this, try that. Boom, logs on, it works. What do you guys say? Oh, it must have been user error, PEPCAC problem. The next day, same thing happens again. It's intermittent, you can't track this down. USNs are actually one of the biggest issues as far as complexity to fix that we're talking about. So this concept is basically, we now have a VMGen ID. VMGen ID is basically an attribute associated with the virtual machine that is manipulated by the hypervisor that basically is a number and a value. And what happens is that value changes when a snapshot occurs or when a brand new machine is brought in. The snapshot is going to be different. The VMGen ID is going to be different. Because if a snapshot is played or if the machine is imported, the hypervisor knows enough to flip this to a different number. So when the machine boots up as a domain controller, before it makes any write operations to the Active Directory database, it checks to see if that gen ID has changed. If it does, it says, I don't know what's going on. let's replicate and pretend this never happened, and we'll continue to talk normally, basically is what it does, in simple terms. Now, you can apply this also to cloning technology, which we're going to have a demonstration done with in just a minute. So basically, there's some command prompts you can go. On this particular clone machine, we've already prepped it for being cloning, let's say. NTDS actually goes up and starts. It takes a look at the current VM gen ID that's been applied inside of its information by the hypervisor. If it's different from the value that's written in the DIT, then we'll go in and basically reset the invocation ID, discard its RID pool to prevent any possible spoiling of duplicate SIDs. It'll then go in and say, hey, was that just a boo-boo? If it was a boo-boo, continue on the boot process and go, in which case you're good. Start the replication over again. If a particular file exists called dcclone.config.xml, that means other stuff's supposed to happen, which he's going to show you, in which case it's going to go in and say, oh, I'm a clone. I'm authorized. I'm all set to go. So go ahead and start the whole cloning process. Parse it to see what I'm supposed to do. Inside that file contains IP address information, naming information, where the PDC emulator is, and then go off and get the network settings, locate the PDC, do a particular call, contact that PDC, check to see if I'm authorized to be a clone. Yes, you are. Go ahead and create a new DC object inside my Active Directory. Go ahead and store that information. Go ahead and generate a new computer account name, a new account, new password for that computer. Bring it back to that guy. Go ahead and apply that to my machine. Promote as possible. Get the replica from the local copy. Go ahead and run specific sysprep actions after the fact. And then boom, done. I now am a clone. That's actually the fastest way to deploy 2012 domain controllers is to do cloning because of virtualization. And that's a long way of me basically saying, go ahead, attack the DC clones, buddy.
Cool. You got me? Tap.
I'll be the switch master.
So as you can see now in our environment, we have four DCs. We have the one running 2003, and we have the three running 2012. Now, DC4 at the moment, I think I might turn that into a cloned domain controller. So what I'm going to do is, firstly, I've got to go and add the computer account for DC4 to a group called Clonable Domain Controllers to give me the rights to actually allow that to clone itself as a VM. So what I'll do is I'll go into the users folder here, and you can see when we're in the users folder, there is a new group called Clonable Domain Controllers.
This is basically just your little security safeguard that this particular machine is a reliable source.
Absolutely.
So it's not just someone that just decided to do it.
Absolutely right. So what I'll do is, just like any other group, I'll go to the Members tab here, and I'll add in an appropriate object. And, of course, I will make sure that I'm putting computers in there, because I usually make that mistake. And I'll put in DC4. Just check that name, click OK, and click OK. So now we are allowed to clone DC4. So the next thing I now need to do is go off to DC4 and run a PowerShell script which will check that machine to see whether or not it's ready for cloning. So it'll look for applications running on the domain controller that maybe shouldn't be there, that could cause an issue when it's cloned. It will give me the information. If I see what's there that can't be cloned, I can then go ahead and I can remove those applications, or I can create a custom DC allow list which says, you know what, I don't care. I know those applications are going to fail, and I'm just going to go ahead and clone this anyway. So I'm going to move across to my DC4 machine here, like so. And you can see the PowerShell command here. So what we're doing is a new ADDC clone config file, and we're putting in the IP version 4 address of the destination machine we intend to clone, as well as the gateway and subnet information, the DNS information that we need, and we're indicating that this is going to be set on the machine after cloning as a static address. Now, obviously, if you're going to be reusing this over and over again, then you are potentially going to be putting in different values there. Site name we're going to add into here. So now that I've done that, I'll fire that off. And what it does first off is it says, okay, well, I'm going to go and test to see what applications are on here that are going to fail. Now, if we just go back through the output there, you can see that firstly we've checked to make sure that none of the flexible single master operations roles are on this machine. We certainly don't want to clone it if we've got those on them. So, no, that's passed. That's fine. We're now checking the clonable domain controllers group. Whoops, I beg your pardon. We're a part of that, so we've passed that as well. We see we've got no bad applications, so we're ready to go. Now that we've created that,
the bad application, just so you know, if you're a clean environment like I suggest, where you're just a domain controller and you're just DNS services, you don't have any extra extraneous stuff that's on there, you're probably going to pass. If not, you can build up exceptions. Most roles that you assume that would be on a domain controller are fine. Additional ones that aren't will give you a big bang warning here. You've got to resolve them before you continue.
Right, and you can see that in the Windows NTDS folder, we've now created ourselves a DC clone config XML document with that information in there. So what I'll do is I'll close that down, And now the machine is ready for cloning, so what I'm going to do is just simply shut it down.
It's not clone, though.
I know. I'm going to clone it in just a moment.
Okay.
So, let's let that shut down, and then we'll go to Hyper-V Manager, and we'll actually do what we've got to do next, which is export this virtual machine, and then re-import it later on.
So, first of all, VMGenID is supported on Hyper-V on 2012, a version of Hyper-V. It is not supported on down-level versions of the hypervisor from Microsoft, and it has been published as a standard and available for all other virtualization vendors to also implement VMGenID because we don't want you calling us with support ticket issues of having USM bubbles. Check with your virtualization provider of choice, starts with V, ends in E, see if they have the support in the version that you might be using, or if you're using those other ones, it starts with X.
All right, so you can see here we're exporting. Now, this will take a little bit of time, so I noticed you were doing real well padding out there, but unfortunately, running out of things to say, but no, in actual fact, not. So you can see that we're currently at 9% exporting, all right? So this will take just a little bit longer. Once that's done, what we'll do is we'll re-import the virtual machine, store it in a different directory on the hard drive itself, and then simply start it up, and magic will happen. And that's all we've got to do.
Yeah, and then basically you can now continue to duplicate this as many times as you like. Cautionary note, there is an age. There's a best before date on this, right? Anyone care to know what it is? Anyone guess what it is? If your database from Active Directory is older than X number of days, 180 days, 90 days, depends what you have it set for. 180 days, it's basically garbage collection interval, tombstone interval, that sort of stuff. Basically, if you hold on to it too long, it'll spoil. So you're going to want to refresh your cloning images every once in a while. Plus, you're going to want to also update that image every once in a while with updated patches, updated updates as well that goes in there. But just be aware of that one warning level of stuff. Is that enough padding I could do there?
Yeah, and while we're waiting for that to finish, by the way, why don't we think about now removing this
clean up
2003
the old
domain controller. So I'm just going to log on to the old 2003 domain controller, and I'm going to demote it.
So I'm going to DC promo.
Yes, I'm going to DC promo to remove it.
There's no DC demo?
Unfortunately not. So you're probably familiar with this wizard. We've all seen it a few times. It's just telling me that I'm a global catalog server. Well, that's fine. I've got other ones, so we don't have an issue there. This is not the last domain controller in the forest. You wouldn't want to be ticking this.
Do not tick that. Not a good idea.
Put in a new local administrator password as we drag this poor thing back down to a member server. Look, it's on its last legs anyway. It doesn't want to be there anymore.
Now, if you actually got to the point before it asked you for the password and errored out, saying that there's currently replication issues that are not completed yet, you are currently the only owner of the DNS Active Directory integrated domain, that sort of stuff, don't worry about it. You can basically wait, hit the back button, come back again and try it again. You won't face that in a much more production environment where you're not trying to cram this into 60 minutes.
Absolutely right.
And this has taken a time, and I forgot to remind you that you should have actually stopped
the
NetLogon service first.
That's a really good point. So if you want to speed this process up,
unlike
stopping
you just did
NetLogon,
now, which you continued, so
is particularly important. All right. So what we'll do while we're waiting for that to occur is we'll just see where we're at with the export. We'll come back to here. That should have removed itself with no worries, and we'll end up with a pure Server 2012 environment with a clone DC added on in, and then we can start thinking about raising the forest and domain functional levels. So I'll just minimize that. You can see that our export has completed. So if I go to my hard drive now and actually show you what that looks like under my exported VM, here it is. I've got my snapshots, as you can see, quite a few. I've got my virtual hard disks. We're all ready to go. So what I will now do is simply import this virtual machine back into Hyper-V, start it up, and we'll get ourselves a clone domain controller.
And you obviously would want to go in and make a copy of that file.
Absolutely.
You want to import it more than once.
Yep.
And it's going to go off and go through that little flow-through process that I went through earlier on with that slide and validate that everything's all set to
go. Sorry. There we go. Picking the right folder there. That can help. I'm going to import that. This is a copy, as we said.
I should have just done it in place. It's going to now have to copy all those files.
That's fine. Yeah, maybe I should have.
There we go.
Maybe I'll do a copy after all.
Okay. Well, while he's doing that, in the interest of time, why don't I go back and talk a little bit about some of the new stuff that we'll be able to do when you're done? Because basically, we're trying to get rid of the old guy to get to the point where we can start to implement some new technologies. And those new technologies are there specifically in 2012. One of the things that are really good is the fact you can actually go in and obviously remove the GUI interface and go from a full server install down to a GUI server user interface. And that's simply a matter of running the appropriate PowerShell command to be able to do that, or you're able to go in and use the GUI interface to actually drop it down from a Windows client machine or from an RSAT tool someplace to be able to get it done. It's going to remove binaries, it's going to make a smaller attack surface, and basically make it so that it's going to be generally a more secure environment to be able to run your domain controllers off of that's there. Reduced amount of management, too. Don't be scared, because as I mentioned, you don't even know if you're managing a core server anymore in 2012 remotely with RSAT tools versus the full GUI server on the other end of those RSAT tools. There's no difference with the way that you manage it, which is absolutely phenomenal. Other thing you can worry about as well is possibly implementing. You can do this right now with a functional change. You have to get rid of all of the down-level domain controllers before you change your functional level of the domain that you're in. Otherwise, you end up with some pretty big issues. So that's what we're waiting to finish cleaning up on, is to get rid of our 2003 guy to be able to change our functional level to be 2008 R2, which would allow me to turn on the option for an AD recycle bin. This is otherwise known as your oops factor, where you get an email like this on Monday morning saying, oops, I didn't mean to, but I deleted an OU I shouldn't have as an admin over the weekend, and we needed to start our backup tapes and backup process. Or process. Quick question there, Mr. Shockley?
Yeah. With the RSAT tools, I've noticed on the 2003 and 2008 domains, they don't log properly the user that makes changes. So logging and healthcare auditing.
Yep.
Is that fixed with the RSAT tools in 2012?
Good question. So basically, he was asking, when you're managing down-level domains with the RSAT tools, which is completely possible, you're able to go in and to manage and work with the RSAT tools on 2012 systems, also on 2008 R2 and 2008 systems, and potentially make some changes to a mixed domain environment that has 2003 domain controllers. You cannot manage 2003 domain controllers with the RSAT tools. But if you're doing actions, 2003 basically might miss it. Is there any changes to the RSAT tools for 2012 R2 when they come out? And the answer is, I don't know yet, because they aren't out yet to be able to try. Functionally, I will say that basically we always ship our RSAT tools, sim ship, with the version of the OS that's running that has to match the client of the OS to be able to manage it as well. If you're reading between the lines, that means that if you want to run RSAT on 2012 R2, you're going to have to run an 8.1 client system to be able to do the install and be able to manage it, just so you know. Come back to me around the June time frame. We'll see if we can update that. I'll do a blog post on it to help you out. Now, if you already have 2008 R2, you probably are already at this level. You don't need to switch it to 2012 to be able to do it with the 2012 box. You can just continue to work with it at the 2012 box. Password policy is definitely something you want to take a look at and leverage as well. You're able to go in and basically implement a different levels of password policies with password setting objects. The difference now with 2008 R2 versus 2012 is that 2012 has a GUI interface. That administrative center tool, ADAC, the little-known acid rock music band, is the one that you're going to be using to be able to do the GUI interface in 2012 and 2012 R2. It literally is a matter of right-mouse clicking on the OU structure to say new password pet settings policy, and then you fill out the form, and you now have a new one for objects that are in there, and you associate the groups to it, and you're all good. You good to be able to show me something? Are we
sure
good?
Sure am.
Now? Okay.
All right, so the export's finished. Now, back over on the 2003 box, you can see that the demotion has completed, so I'm just going to hit finish and restart, and we're going to let that go. Now, back in Hyper-V, we now have our imported VM sitting here in an off state. It's completely ready to go. All we're going to do is just turn it on and watch what happens. Now, all that flowchart we saw before is all happening under the hood here. And it's basically going to do it in a percentage countdown. So you can see we're firing up.
Too bad we don't have that Core i7000, eh?
Yeah, that is a bit of a shame. But we'll get there.
Getting ready. Getting ready.
Please wait.
Oh, please wait. Already. The question was about the fine-grained password policy. Is it now done at a OU level as opposed to a group level? Sorry, I misspoke, sir. The functional way how it works has not changed. You make the OU, the way I do it is I make a password settings object at the OU level, and then I have a group that's normally associated with that I would apply to it, that individual user. I like to nest mine at different locations. It's different strokes for where you put them, that's all. They're simply an object, password settings object. So my apology for that misspoke. So that flowchart, that XML file basically listed off the IP address settings so that this clone knows how to talk on the network. It knows how to talk to DNS, and it can query DNS to find the PDC emulator. The PDC emulator has to be in a 2012 box, and then it checks to see if it's a member of the group and if it's allowed to be cloned, and then can continue on from that point forward.
Absolutely right.
So you might have to wait for a bit of replication convergence to take place if you're doing it with multiple sites. This is our demo environment, so we don't have that issue.
Yep, and we're in. We're done.
We're done. So yep. We basically now have a new one. So in theory, you could go through and have a very fast way of getting all of your systems up and working as domain controllers in 2012 environment with the cloning option. Your only requirement is that you have a 2012 domain controller in place. We didn't change the functional level yet. We're still at the other functional levels of 2008 R2 or 2003. It's all still there. So we've done a good job of decoupling the requirements and the benefits that you get of the features that we're talking about right now from the forest functional level and from the domain functional level as well. 1 second, sir. I just want to get through a little bit more here to be able to keep on going. Some other new stuff that is really important you should be worried about or thinking about right now is basically this guy right here, paving the way to the future, leveling up for your thinking for where things have to go. The ability to go through a policy-driven access to data as opposed to group hierarchical HE double hockey sticks. No one got that. There's no Canadians in the room.
Sorry.
You got basically picture this. I've got a desired access policy that states, for access to financial info that is high business impact, a user must be a finance department employee with a high security clearance and must use a managed device registered with the finance department. That statement is impossible to do without a nested myriad of a spider's nest of groups that will be manually maintained by yourselves while you're sitting in the corner bubbling at the mouth and trying to remain sane to be able to figure out how to keep this. Because as soon as Bob moves from accounting and finance over to HR, you now have to undo all the groups and redo all the groups to be able to make all the magic work. So basically, we need to have a way to have a centrally managed access and control from within Active Directory to resolve the end user's problems and issues, pre-stage and simulate this, because these are big, impactful changes you're going to be implementing, and then automatically go through identifying classified data. This is all discovered and handled by this thing that's called Dynamic Access Control and Expressions-Based Access Rules. In theory, it's functionally the same. The objects are protected by ACLs, and each ACL has entries. The difference is now we're lighting up new options for those access control entries, and we're increasing the ability to have expressions included, ands and ors. The best part about this is you can go through and start to implement this with your 2012 domain controller, with your 2012 file servers to be able to try it out and to run in simulation mode to see the impact of what it is. But in this case, I have a user claim, which means Active Directory attributes lit up, that says apartment is finance and user clearance is high. I've got a device account that basically is lit up and says I belong to finance and I am a managed device, true. And I've got a file server that's automatically tagging files as high resource impact based on where they're located and moved around inside my Active Directory, which gives me the ability to go ahead and implement that access policy.
Beautiful.
So I absolutely do not expect you to go through and start to implement this willy-nilly when you go back from this conference. Please do not do this. Get ready for the planning. Get ready for the understanding of how this works. This will eventually start to get you out of group management chaos that you're currently in right now, where you basically have groups that mimic your OU structure based on the OU structure you designed by functional deployment within your environment and eliminate some of those. However, don't forget, third-party apps and other Microsoft apps might still require group permissions to be able to do stuff because they haven't caught up with dynamic access. That's why we've got simulation mode to get ready to be able to do this. So this is the wave of the future, things you're going to want to go off and take a look at. This is basically on the identity side, classic side.
All right, so just to finish off what we've seen here, you can now see we're in the domain controllers OU. You can see our new clone domain controller has come online, DC4-C0001. And I've taken the liberty of raising our forest functional level, so we now have a pure Server 2012 domain environment at Server 2012 functional level, both domain and forest, and we're ready to really start rocking.
The sheer fact that we pulled that off in 60 minutes is a feat that is astounding, my friend. That's all I can say. There's a lot of moving parts. You will not be running at this accelerated pace that we've been running at to be able to try to show this all to you today. I wanted to leave a little bit of time for some questions. We're not quite done just yet, but we have a little bit more to show you. The interfaces for being able to set fine-grained password policy, to be able to set the 80 recycle bin, that sort of stuff, they're basically lit up and available once you make that force functional change, and then you use the Active Directory Administrative Center tool to be able to do it. The other thing I wanted to remind you about is the fact that, as I mentioned, we didn't really have to force that change out of there. We needed to get rid of the old domain controllers and then be able to make that change to the domain level and the force functional level to be able to get up to 2012. Did you want to show them?
You want me to really quickly show?
If we have a little bit of time.
All right.
We can. I want to stay on track.
Okay, so I just want to say that enabling the recycle bin is probably the most rubbish demo in existence. Because literally, what we do is we go over here to enable recycle bin, right? And then we say yes.
You're okay.
Okay, I should say. And then we say okay again. Right, that's the end of that. Done. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, no, that was tough, right? We're working out. And the other thing you can see here. What did you do?
I'll switch you back.
You can see here is I now can't get rid of it, but what you'll notice is now a deleted objects container in my domain.
Okay. Now, with the last 4 minutes that are left, for those of you that are leaving, thank you very much for coming out to listen to us. Don't forget your evals. Don't forget higher numbers are better than lower numbers. Thank you very much. We are going to be here for the next couple of minutes to take a couple of questions, if possible, if you're interested. And, of course, after a little bit of a break, we will be coming back after lunch to continue. I want to promote a little bit of the related content. We've done the first two parts to lay your foundation. The most important part is your Active Directory and also understanding what's involved. After lunch, we are going to be coming back and talking about networking infrastructure and management as well. And then after that, your file servers and storage options. Don't forget, again, be kind in those evals. That's how we get judged if we get to come back or not and continue to put this type of content into Tech Ed. Based on the fact that everybody's now standing up, if you do have some questions, come on down. We'll be here to talk. Thank you very much. Don't forget to visit the Expo Hall. Have a great time, guys.
Thanks a lot.